This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. This month, 19 female soldiers became the first women to enter Army Ranger School. The move is part of the military's attempt to integrate women into combat roles by the end of this year. But this training session is itself simply a test. Women are still not allowed in Ranger regiments. The Pentagon is trying to determine whether or not they can handle the Army's toughest training. So a handful of female soldiers will spend the next 2 months in the most grueling of military schools, where about half of their male counterparts drop out. Jay Price is WUNC's military reporter. He's been following the story. He recently returned from the Army Ranger School in Fort Benning, Georgia. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Remind us again about the recent changes in military policy that have led to this combat training for women.
Well, a couple of years ago, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta announced that the military would lift its ban on women serving in combat roles, things like armor, artillery, infantry, with, I guess, infantry kind of underlined in this case. So those different the women will have to, you know, be tested, essentially. And this is what this is a grand experiment. And by the end of this year, the different services will have to either integrate them, say how they're going to integrate them, or ask for some sort of waiver and give a reason why they can't.
Well, Ranger, I mean, you talk about a grand experiment. Ranger school is very grand indeed. It's not infantry training. Why go all the way to Rangers to try to get women in the infantry?
Well, you know, again, it's an experiment, and there are several similar experiments going on across the military, and the Marine Corps in particular. Nothing particular is going to be accomplished at the end of this. This won't be a yes-no sort of thing. They're just gathering data in some sense. With the Marines, you know, it's been kind of a mixed bag. The Marine Infantry Officer Course, none of the women who've entered that have graduated. They've all washed out. But for the Infantry Training Course, which is here at Camp Lejeune, more than 100 have gotten through. So, you know, kind of mixed results there. And in this case, you know, they're kind of funneling down. The numbers so far look pretty similar to what they see with the men getting washed out of this course. It's a tough course.
Tough course. 50% washout rate for men up until now. So describe this course for us.
It starts out with what they call RAP week, Ranger Assessment Phase. And it's not really a week. It's about 4 days worth. And that's really kind of intense physical testing. Things that sound, you know, fairly reasonable for somebody who's in decent athletic shape. 49 push-ups in 2 minutes. This is the way it really starts out the first day. 59 sit-ups in 2 minutes. A 5-mile run in under 40 minutes. 6 chin-ups. A bunch wash out, though. They're already under serious stress at that point. They haven't had much sleep even by the first day. And it rapidly declines from there. I mean, as far as the sleep and the nutrition they get. By the fourth day, they've got a 12-mile march with a heavy rucksack. And this particular phase, this early bit, is the part that washes out by far the most of the students. After that, it moves on to things where they're essentially being graded by their peers and being graded by ranger instructors, and it's a little more subjective. The push-ups, sit-ups, that's pretty straightforward. And so far, 8 women have gotten through. A total of 19 started the course. And 381 men started the course, and a bunch of those washed out. We're down to 184 men. So that first week was tough. But now they're on to kind of small unit, essentially land navigation, moving around in small units and taking small unit actions, kind of building up to larger units. Then they'll move into the mountains for mountain training. The rucks get heavier. They got ropes. They have other climbing equipment.
At a certain point, you carry each other, don't you?
Yes. One of the exercises there is bringing a role-playing wounded soldier down from a height. A lot of load. They're undergoing patrols, and those patrols get longer as the course wears on. From the mountains, they move down to Florida and to swamps, doing amphibious things, things on the rivers with boats. And they get more and more tired.
I was going to say, there's less and less sleep and less food per calorie burned, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I talked to one ranger instructor, longtime ranger instructor, who'd been, of course, through the school himself. And he said that in his mind, it boils down to either you're going to be a hungry ranger or a sleepy ranger. And he thought he would be a sleepy ranger, but as it turned out, he was a hungry ranger. He fixed that, at least in his mind, by taking the toilet paper he was issued and mixing it with his cocoa powder and making a pudding. He would eat that and then, as he put it, slam down a quart of water to make the toilet paper expand. It made him feel full.
Whatever works. Well, so you spoke with Lieutenant Tracy Ross. So you might want to tell us who she is. But she was observing the first days of training. Tell us a little bit about who she is.
Lieutenant Ross is one of about a little over two dozen women observer advisors the Army brought in. As one of the senior officers there said, you know, this training's been going on for 55 years by men, for men, and we don't know what we don't know. And they wanted a woman's eye on what they were doing and someone who could kind of talk with women, kind of analyze what was going on, and then give them advice later about what they were finding out.
Here's what she told you.
They certainly came in with that fierceness. I don't know one female who wasn't like, I'm not going to – if they're there already, they're definitely determined to be there. They didn't make it. They were definitely disappointed just like everyone else would be.
All right. There's Lieutenant Tracy Ross.
Fierceness. That was one word. Another word I heard out of the female observers was heart. They came in with a lot of heart. This is a one-time experiment. This is the way it's built. They could open up the Ranger School later as a permanent thing for women, but they're not saying they're going to do that. This is just a one-time deal for now. And given that, there was kind of a pent-up demand. Some women badly wanted to do this. So the one kind of overarching thing that the observers said was they came in with a lot of heart, but they weren't always prepared because they might have been taken a little off guard. They weren't prepared physically or mentally for this one-time shot at their dream.
Well, and as you say, this is an experiment, and it's a little difficult to know exactly how it will be assessed. And I think when you spoke to Major John Vickery, an Army Ranger instructor, he expressed the difficulty in figuring out what to do with this experiment.
I think to argue that just make it fair and everybody's the same is kind of naive, because it's really not that. If it was that simple, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation and it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but it is. And so I'm not for or against it. I just think there's a lot more things we need to work through, a lot more challenges that are out there before we just drop a female ranger platoon leader in the middle of an infantry platoon of men, 30 miles outside of a main post in Afghanistan. Are we ready for that? I'm not sure.
We are talking about training women to be Army Rangers today on The State of Things. Jay Price is with me, WNC military reporter. So this is kind of the challenge going forward, right?
Yeah, and I'll say first off that Major Vickery was extremely supportive of the idea of women going through the Ranger School. But he said that's just the first step, and the scenario he paints is, okay, we get them through, and then what do you do with them? Integrating them into the infantry unit was the challenge. And it's kind of like, okay, you get through Ranger School and it's this huge challenge. But then it's kind of like at the end of the movie, The Graduate, when Dustin Hoffman, has rescued the woman he loves from being married to someone he doesn't want. They're sitting on the bus after they've escaped and they look at each other and say, oh, what now?
There is a thought that if you've been through Ranger training, doesn't that count for something in the military? Wouldn't you go up a notch in the eyes of the people that you might be commanding?
Yes, it counts hugely. It gives credibility, particularly for someone who's going to be commanding. And, some of the folks who go through the school are enlisted, some are officers, some are non-commissioned officers. But something on the order of 90% of senior infantry officers are Ranger qualified. They've been through the school. It's a big deal for your resume. It's a big deal for your skill set in particular. And if they're going to give women clear career paths in infantry, it seems vital.
Well, I want to change gears here for a minute because a story that you had been following from the beginning, the Blackwater story, the story of Blackwater contractors, at least one phase of that came to an end with the conviction and sentencing of four Blackwater former guards. Take us back. Remind us about that incident and tell us how it ended.
Well, it's 2007 in Sewer Square. It's a traffic circle in Baghdad. And Blackwater at the time had a contract to provide security for the State Department. So any of the diplomats that were out and about the city or around the country typically moved with a large convoy, very high, what we called a high profile. Some of us went low profile, some of us went high profile. Low profile seemed to have less incidents. The high profile ones made you a target, and they were always worried about being a target. They came into this traffic circle after carrying a diplomat out for, I think, a fairly minor meeting, and they claimed they were ambushed. The Iraqis say otherwise, but what was clear was that 17 civilians were killed, 20 were wounded. And then there's been this kind of long and convoluted string of prosecution, as has been the case with many of the things that have gone wrong with security contractors in both war theaters.
Four were convicted, one of murder, three of manslaughter. I've just got about 30 seconds left, but I wonder if any of the kind of gray areas that the contractors created about whether they'd be under military law or civilian courts and all of that, has any of that been cleared up, Jay?
No, not really. These guys were convicted under one of two or three different ways they could have been tried, and the law is murky. There is going to be appealed. It's not clear whether they could be prosecuted properly under that law, at least according to their attorneys. It's going to be appealed in a federal court. Representative David Price is trying to make the language of that law more clear right now, but he may or may not have enough support to get that legislation through.
All right, Jay, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks. Jay Price, WUNC's military reporter, writing an upcoming feature for WUNC about women entering Army Ranger School. Talking about heroes in the military, just ahead we're going to talk about the definition of a hero. Author Chris McDougall explores the limits of the body and the human instinct to fight on. We'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.